It's now been more than 3.5 years since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's been a little more than 2 years since Congress passed the last of those three major emergency spending bills that were ostensibly meant to address the pandemic. Those three spending bills cost more than $6 trillion, and much of that was borrowed and added to the national debt. But only now, only 2.5 years later, are we starting to get a clear picture of how much of that spending was unnecessary, wasteful, or just stolen. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. At Reason, we've been tracking a lot of the fiscal missteps that the federal government made during the pandemic, and there have been a few important developments in the past few weeks, so I thought we'd spend some time today catching up on all of that. And just to be able to do this, we owe a huge debt to the Inspector General's office and various federal agencies, as well as to the Government Accountability Office and to outside groups like the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget and the Project on Government Oversight. Google all of those because they all do fantastic work, and only some of which we'll have time to get into today. Unnecessary, wasteful, and stolen. So where should we start? Let's spin the wheel and go with unnecessary. In a new report, the Government Accountability Office found that states had spent just 45% of the funding that they've received through the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund program. That's the $350 billion line item that was included within the $2 trillion American Rescue Plan passed in March of 2021. States have spent, again, just 45% of the funding that they received there. And local governments have reported spending just 38% of the funds they got through that same program. That would seemingly confirm what a lot of budgetary experts were saying before the American Rescue Plan was passed, that state and local governments didn't need a bailout. Though their tax revenue streams had taken a hit during the early stages of the pandemic, that recovery was already well underway by 2021, and some states were even posting huge surpluses thanks to property tax collections that had gone through the roof. And even if that weren't true, the idea that Washington should step in if there are dips in state revenue is pretty badly flawed. States have the ability to manage their own fiscal situations, and they should be expected to do that. In places where states are poorly managed, federal bailouts simply enable policymakers to avoid much-needed discipline. Okay, so let's move along to wasteful. As Reason has also reported, a good chunk of that state and local bailout were put to questionable use, including things like subsidizing money-losing government-owned golf courses. Lots of other governments used the stimulus cash to pad the paychecks of public employees. Iowa spent more than $12 million of its $4.5 billion cut on a new baseball stadium near the Field of Dreams set, because that's an essential public health issue, of course. The new GAO report adds to that list of seemingly frivolous spending. It points out that Michigan spent $25.6 million on a travel marketing and promotional campaign, allegedly to respond to the impacts of COVID-19 on tourism. Louisiana, meanwhile, spent $115 million of its COVID funds on fixing up roads and bridges. Tourism is nice, of course, and roads are in many ways an essential government function, but the emergency COVID spending was meant to help states address the immediate public health crisis or to backfill revenue that had been lost as a result of that crisis. It's not clear to me at all how highway construction was a victim of the pandemic, and travel marketing is the sort of thing that shouldn't be funded with taxpayer dollars, no matter where those dollars are coming from. So that covers unnecessary and wasteful. What about stolen? The Washington Post reports this week that the Small Business Administration has decided not to pursue collection efforts for some borrowers who received aid through the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, the EIDL. That was a program that was similar in a lot of ways to the more well-known PPP program. It was meant to help small businesses that had lost money during the pandemic. But the EIDL program, much like the PPP program, was rife with fraud. An Inspector General report earlier this year revealed that the government believes 33% of the funding distributed through the EIDL program was stolen by fraudsters. That's $130 billion, frankly, an eye-popping figure. How did this happen? In part because the SBA did not run loan applications through the Treasury Department's Do Not Pay database. That's a database, as you might suspect, of known criminals and scammers, people that the government doesn't want to give more public money to. It didn't run those loan applications through that database until 2021, long after the bulk of the pandemic spending was out the door. The same Inspector General report also notes that the agency did not have a centralized entity to design, lead, and manage fraud risk until February of 2022, nearly two full years after it began distributing COVID relief funds. Then used those funds to buy luxury homes, gold coins, diamonds, and jewelry, along with other expensive goods. In another case, a single person managed to scam the system 150 times over, securing $3 million for herself and those involved in the conspiracy. And so when the Small Business Administration now says that it's not going to pursue collection efforts against many of these delinquent loans, what it is really saying is that so much of the EIDL's funding was stolen that they're not even sure how to go about these collection efforts in the first place, because the government would be unlikely to get any money back in the end anyway. At least that's how the SBA explained it to the Washington Post. But the agency might need a better explanation than that. The Inspector General says that the SBA might be violating federal law by simply declining to force borrowers to pay back their loans. And in another new report issued just a week ago, the Inspector General says that this action could incentivize other COVID-19 recipients to stop paying their loans too, which makes a lot of sense. I guess taxpayers will just end up covering that cost too. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Check out more of our coverage of the pandemic and of all the wasteful spending that came out of it, along with everything else happening in Washington and around the country this week at Reason.com. And catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.